Hey guys, Bionabu presents the MedTech Podcast. If you're intrigued and want to learn more about how technology is changing healthcare, then this podcast is perfect for you. If you want to learn about entrepreneurship and innovation, then stick around. My name's Esh, and welcome to the conversation. Hey guys. So before I get into this episode, I just wanted to read out a comment that got left on Spotify last week. So the comment read, "Esh, I'm thoroughly enjoying your podcast. Keep them coming. Your content is refreshing, informative, and enjoyable to listen to." That's coming from a non-medical person, but I'm in the digital space. So when I read that comment, honestly, it filled me with joy. I got so happy just because I am putting a lot of time and effort into these episodes because I want to inspire and provide value to as many people as possible. So I guess reading that comment made me realize firsthand that, you know what, there are people out there listening who I am inspiring, who I am providing value to. That really meant a lot. So thank you so much, guys. And as I said last week, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, please just hit that follow button, hit the bell icon. It will notify you whenever I release a new episode. Leave a rating and also leave a review, leave a comment. Every week I'll be releasing an episode and every week I can read out my favorite comment and give you guys a shout out. So thank you so much, guys. Honestly, your support means so much. So we will be diving into the topic of design thinking in healthcare and how it can be used to create patient-centric, innovative digital solutions. And I know this episode is a bit longer than normal, but that is just because what myself and Martin speak about is just extremely valuable. Martin provides us so many insights into creating a digital solution and how to make it a success, how to turn your digital dream into reality. And I just couldn't bring myself to cut anything to make it a bit shorter. So if there's anyone out there who's identified a problem in the healthcare system and is looking to now create a digital solution, this podcast, this episode will be perfect for you. So Martin, it's a pleasure having you. And to begin this episode, I just wanted to ask you, so you've transitioned from the world of finance, which is completely different to pharma and healthcare. So how did that transition come about?
Thank you very much. Yeah, interesting question. So it was after 3 years at DeFine that I was offered a new position in building the then fresh unit of DeFine Pharma and Healthcare. So as one of our partners approached me, I was quite intrigued to accept this offering as there was so much more for us to cover, so much more for us to explore and to get our offerings running in this new industry, as we all had the feeling at DeFine that there are other areas than just finance, insurance, asset management, and so on, where we, with our dedicated approach from concept design to actual business-ready implementation, can bring some value. And especially in pharma and healthcare, this gets another kind of emotional touch to this, as all we do in this industry is about patients, about patient safety, about patients' quality of life, and mixing these two areas, so the technology and architecture design together with doing it for patients in need, was something very motivating for me. So therefore, I picked up the challenge to engage in the founding of this new unit, and we did quite a journey in getting, in sorting all the pieces out, what is required for a successful product, what are the decisive points when it comes to architecture, IT security, performance, scalability. So all these technical stories, but then again, the specific needs of very specialized and very deep into the topic subject matter experts or patients to then make it work for them to serving a need, providing a piece of the puzzle that could make life better in these very stressed industries, as we all know from the NHS German system as well.
Sure.
It's quite under pressure. So this is really where we can deliver some value.
Yeah. And thank you for that introduction. I guess it's very obvious you're the perfect person to speak to if you're, whether you're a startup founder, a healthcare advisor, data scientist, investor, and you're interested in practical strategies for driving digital solutions in healthcare. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this episode and discussing design thinking and how that can be applied to firstly identifying a problem in healthcare and then creating a digital solution that addresses that problem in healthcare.
So yeah, maybe we can start with a couple of examples, maybe some insights into my product portfolio where I engaged, especially in pharma and healthcare, covering various sites, more on the say, healthcare professional side, more on the patient side. So maybe we can explore some bits and pieces from there to pick an example we want to discuss in more detail. So maybe let's start with an example that is more directed to patients, which is about senior residence life. So imagine that a new person enters a senior residence and all the nurses or the professional staff need to know how on earth should I provide the care they need? What is the background of this person? Is this more introvert? Is the person more extrovert? What are the key cornerstones in life that we should respect, that we should reflect to keep up a kind of personalized care and not treating only the person in need just as a number and perhaps treating to the minutes? So as we all know, that the quality of life depends quite highly on how you're treated in this situation, especially as you are very new to this situation.
Yeah.
So therefore, we started a project that takes care for the biography of residents, making it available in a safe and secure manner to nurses, to professional staff. So as to identify a story that one could talk actually on this occasion, on this day, be it in the social care part of nursing, be it in the nursing itself, so as to reach a level of understanding or a level of connection that is more personal and more individualized and hence improves the quality of life. So this being one example, which we can dive into maybe a little bit deeper, which is more patient-centric.
So to begin with, maybe you can start off by explaining the importance of initially first identifying the problem or need in healthcare and then addressing that through a digital solution. And you can use these use cases and give personal examples.
Yeah, so maybe to start the answer of this question with the first projects. So let's analyze first the situation that we were in before we came up with our solution, to then identify the specific needs, the personas that are relevant in our contexts and the value that we could bring to them. So let's start with the initial situation. There is biography information available for residents, of course, as you have perhaps a questionnaire or you ask some of the relatives for some information, especially in cases of dementia, to get at least a vague understanding of what was important for in this person's life. However, if you do not have technology to bring this to the point of care, this information might just rest on a computer somewhere in an office, which is just too distant for the nurses to check it up, to get some inspiration, to make the connections. So the idea was, can we do this in a kind of modern web framework-based architecture where the information would be readily made available directly at the point of care? So can we do it in a way that the information is presented on a, say, tablet that you can just grab on a station, then have a look at the resident you want to visit for the next half an hour or so and get some inspiration? Might it be a birthday of a grandchild or perhaps also the date of death of a close relative, so that you're prepared what to expect on this day? And starting off with this kind of imagination that we are seeking pursuing this vision in our mind, we then started off clarifying what are the important pieces of information that need to be presented and how they should be presented. And this brings us to a deeper understanding that we needed to build up for our users, who are actually our users, and which situation are our users. So this aspect of human-centered design of solutions was then very important after we have built our vision of this tablet-supported biography solution in healthcare. In doing this, of course, you need real persons available with whom you can discuss ideas, plans, perhaps wireframes, if you want to go into this direction already, and to discuss the success stories, perhaps, that they had once you've built first bits and pieces, perhaps in an agile approach of your solution, to then improve step by step, bringing more value, more valuable pieces into your solution, so that it becomes a step by step, iteration by iteration, a minimal viable product that could also be used elsewhere, and not only in the inner circle, so to say, of ambassadors and supporters, but that it carries some greater value. So this line is very important to keep in mind. It's very valuable to have these supporters, but you should always look for generalizing it to that extent that it could also be used outside of your circle.
And having identified the problem, it's now about understanding the problem from the user's perspective. So how do we ensure that the MedTech solution meets the need and expectation of the users? How can we gather insights from the users to inform the design process, and so we can adapt the process to make it more efficient and effective for the problem that we're trying to solve?
Yeah, so you have various instruments at hand in doing this. One instrument would be that you just describe the situation in depth and then discuss, is this really the situation that you're in? As it is a very different situation with our nurses in this example, as opposed to us being developers or designers or whatsoever, being comfortably in a chair at the laptop, which is a very different situation, just in haptic, just in physical conditions, to the situation that they are in. Therefore, it is important to get also an impression on the physical circumstances under which the solution would be used, even in this remote world that we are now into, making this trip to your users, having a trip to the site and observing them in their doing is very valuable in fostering understanding to then make a targeted suggestion. Hey, look, you're in this situation. I just observed this. Can we help you with an image like this, with an assessment like this? Do you have enough time to go through a questionnaire which goes for 15 questions or so to get some more structured information about the resident? These are all things that might be very different in the target productive setting that you cannot know before. And therefore, it is super important to not only have something in mind which looks nice and handy, but it has to fit the actual situation. And therefore, you should ask for critique, you should ask for skepsis to then refine it to a point where the skepsis decreases, interest is raised, and then you're fine in perhaps providing a wireframe, a clickable wireframe to show how it could work, or doing perhaps even the first implementation steps to give an even better impression of how your solution would work. But it's very important that all the things that are around the person and in their condition, with all the tasks that they have to do on their business, is quite visible to you. And you should remind yourself of this condition, perhaps once a day, perhaps in the stand-up, to get a look at the personas for whom you're doing this before you end up in a situation. We have to solve this now, we have to do the technical things, but then you might lose your actual user, which is a death point for many projects, of course.
Okay. And what were some barriers you found in understanding users' perspective?
So one critical point that we had to cover in this project is the limited amount of time of our target users. It just explained how important it is to get their input, their feedback, but of course this requires time, valuable time, that might be needed elsewhere. Remember that we are in a stressed situation in many healthcare institutions. So therefore, we needed to find a way to make our alignment as efficiently as possible to get to the important points once we established a basic understanding of their working procedures and their conditions, but to then come into a steady state, and so to say, situation where in an ongoing manner, we could benefit from their input, and we can present our progress with our solution, so that we arrived with a 2-week cycle in which ends with a 1-hour presentation of all things that have been developed, to then get some input, whether this would work, whether we need a breakout to get to some details of various aspects of our solution. So to make efficient use of time, and this will keep people engaged. If you do a good job in selecting the topics that are important and building a good framework from an organizational perspective to make efficient use of time, so that's a feeling of progress going to the right direction, and this with an agile pace is fostered, so that people will stay on board and will support you for some longer time, not only perhaps for the first 2 weeks and then it's overwhelmed by everyday life, but it is a continuous journey and you have to nurture an atmosphere where people will stay on board and support you for quite some time, as it needs time to build a proper, to build a fully capable solution that will solve this need as in care. So sure. This was the most important point, to find this balance between in selecting what are the important points and how can we effectively get the input we need on our ideas and our progress.
Okay. As a startup founder, you've identified the problem, you've understood it from the user's perspective. What is the next step? Where do you go from there?
So starting small usually is the best way to go. So with something simple, as it's in technology always a bit of a challenge to wire all the pieces with the development team you've assembled for this project. So it's quite a challenge to provide this very first feature. But it's also good that it takes a bit of time until everything fits, as this allows you to think about the problem, to deepen the understanding of the situation, and that good patterns will evolve on the way to an extensible, to a flexible solution that will perhaps serve further features and use cases. So therefore, it shouldn't be too much of a rush for the first feature, as everything you do wrong in architecture, in your patterns, will be a huge pain in the end if you figure out we have to refactor, we have to turn it around, we have to do it differently. So therefore, you should perhaps leverage some expert advice on how to build on best practice patterns before just diving into implementation. And in the urgent need to present something, these things take time, and this is okay.
Sure. And from a clinical perspective, someone that doesn't have any technical experience like yourself, so I'm a founder that has identified a problem in the healthcare system, but I have no technical skills, no technical understanding. What do you suggest for me to do?
Okay, so as you have a product vision available, you should seek your strength in communication of this vision to various stakeholders, be it a technologist team that would be capable of building the solution, to also guide you in smart choices on how to build your product. As some features might sound very complex to implement, but might not actually on the technology side. And you just cannot know if you are not a technical person to judge or to assess how much effort, how much time is needed to build such a feature. To the contrary, something that might seem very easy might be difficult from a technology point of view. And therefore, this exchange and appreciation of feedback is very important to make smart decisions if you put yourselves in the shoes of a product owner. So this is the one side of the coin. The other side is the value that you deliver, the need that you serve with your features. So therefore, it's very important to understand with each bit and piece and idea how much value it carries, to then put a backlog in order, prioritized, given that you have submitted interdependencies, of course, but still the choices that you make on the first steps are maybe the most important ones, as this keeps everybody on board if you deliver a good set of value in the first steps that you implement. And this also shows that you begin to understand the problem, that you are willing to appreciate other opinions. And showing this usually gives some motivation to your supporters and also to your technical team if their opinion is appreciated, instead of applying pressure to them, as this usually results in lower quality, in less understanding of the use case. So this kind of mutual trust atmosphere is the most important asset you have to build as a product owner, to then have the freedom and also the standing to defend your decisions and to keep everybody, perhaps with competing interests, aligned. And this becomes even more important if financials are involved, if you have an investor, where you really have to explain why you're doing things, So if you have this backing from your users, from the technology side, from the supporters, to then speak with one voice and make clear and justify your decisions, if asked, this is the situation you want to be in as a product owner, as things are messy. Inevitably, you're doing a new thing, you're inventing something. So therefore, there will be a lot of mess, but you have to structure this mess to a point that you can argue, that you can discuss, and that you can perhaps defend your decisions. And if you're able to do, you're doing a great job.
Sure. And what I struggled particularly with is refining the idea to make it more realistic and implementable to the healthcare system. So how would you suggest refining the idea to make it more realistic and more feasible?
Yeah. So this brings us to the point of integration, right? So many nice ideas, be it in image recognition, be it in leveraging information from electronic medical records. So all these sorts of things where great value is hidden might just not work because of integration issues.
Sure.
As you do not have a chance to wire to the data sources on a continuous basis, that you face too much organizational resistance, be it from the IT or infrastructure side, be it also from the business side. So there might be resistance for your product. It might be from the infrastructure side. It might also be from the business side, as there is a saying like never change a running system that is barely running, perhaps, as healthcare is. So there might be this resistance to change, which comes for a reason, and therefore skepsis arises. And this skepsis actually is a very valuable source for you to take into account, to take into consideration, to make it work, not only in a bunch of enthusiasts who think there is some value, but also reflecting the more difficult pieces of the story so that it becomes a solution that will be integrated and will work smoothly with an infrastructure, as we are usually not in a fully greenfield situation. So what you should do is to actively seek for this kind of skepsis. You need your supporters. Yeah, you need to have some discussions pushing this thing forward, but sometimes it's also very valuable to take a step back and to think about, hey, have we thought about this thing? Might this be a blocker? We should be very careful about integration with, say, electronic medical records. And if you start thinking about this more thoroughly and more holistically, you will get a broader view on the problem, on other stakeholders you might have not written down in your personas yet to then start again, rethink, are we doing the right thing? Do we need to twist it a bit? Do we need to add some more features, some components, maybe even to our solution architecture to then wire to a data source to make it more accessible to some stakeholder you have not yet in your mind? And this refinement that profits, that benefits from skepsis, from criticism, is very important. Mm-hmm. It's very hard, it's very tough to stand against the skepsis. But if you are seeing that one by one, you tackle these problems and you convince the skeptical people on the boat to become supporters as well, this can be also a very motivating, a very enlightening situation. As you found this one further piece might have been a roadblocker somewhere in the future when things become more expensive, usually. So the art now is to expand your circle of discussion, your circle of stakeholders, to more critical voices, and then to carefully consider whether there's something in. Sometimes it's just critics. Yeah, this is fair enough. But usually it has some kind of inner core which carries value for you, and your task is to identify how you can improve your solution based on this kind of critiques. And in the end, usually you are more thankful for the critiques rather than the applause that you got in the very first stages, to then come to a point where you get more applause in the end if it works.
And I think that leads us on nicely to my next question. I was going to ask, so in implementing a viable, feasible digital solution, what are some key factors to consider when refining your idea in the design thinking process?
Okay, so as we had quite a deep deep dive into discussions on features with your stakeholders. Maybe let's turn more to the technology side of things and the non-functional requirements you have to fulfill with your solutions. Yeah. So one first point, IT security is key, of course. As in everywhere in healthcare, we are dealing with very sensitive data that you just do not want to be made public. Imagine that any kind of treatment, maybe a disorder whatsoever, is just freely available in the internet. And freely available might be, in modern times, even with some protection that you apply, very easy for a IT security specialist to overcome. So therefore, security up to the latest standards, given the latest guidance and proper components that you could use in order to facilitate IT security and hence spark trust into using your solution, should be thought of from day one. As it's lots of effort to build these things all across your solution. In the end, if you figure out, okay, we need to build this on top, then you might run out of funds because you just concentrated on the features, on the minimal viable product in the user point of view, in the functional point of view, but not reflecting enough the non-functional component of IT security. Another example would be perhaps scalability, a very important fact to make your solution a long-running, a lasting, sustainable success. You might just start with some kind of programming pattern that you like, or perhaps some kind of deployment mechanisms that you are familiar with, but this might be enough for building a system that is fine for integration testing, fine for doing it on your local machine, but not scaling to the point in a technical sense that you can support a user base of tens of thousands or how many ever users on your platform that you usually need to make it a business success as well. The same goes actually not only for the technical side, but also for the business side of scalability. So with some of the working procedures, some pieces of automation that you do not build into your solution might be a roadblocker in the long run, as you cannot solve every single problem yourself when your solution grows. Hence, you need to limit the points where you own or your staff need to take action to a minimum so that it becomes really scalable, and at least to note down all the points which require some more care in the scale-up phase to make it handy to support your solution with a suitable amount of staff to make it also from this point of view a business success. So all these points where manual intervention, where manual action is required, should be a warning sign. Maybe it's not the best way to design this process this way. So therefore, also in the sense of taking some constructive consideration from skepsis and critique, this is also a point where you should be very careful, should not lay it aside, as this might be in the long run a roadblocker and very expensive to refactor it to some extent, that it becomes more automatized and scalable also with the amount of staff that you plan for your solution platform whatsoever. So these three points are very important to consider, even in the starting phase of your project. So IT security is key, as usual in healthcare. Technical scalability up to modern standards is important, as this will be the ultimate goal of your solution. And then business scalability, designing it in a way that it's as automatized as possible, and always finding the niches where still some more automatization is possible, is key for staying fit for the future, as perhaps others will also enter your market, and therefore you need to stay cost-effective fit. So these three points are very important to consider for a long-lasting success, where you set the base in the very first part of your project.
And at what point do you start considering the front-end usability aspect of a digital solution?
Yeah, so it does not need to be a 100% on first shot thing, right? So therefore, you're doing these things as wireframing. Just giving an idea of how this could work. This might not be all details included that you, each and every button that you need in a running solution, but just seeing this from a more overarching manner, are these general features that we could envision to deliver value? Is this something we should then dive into? To then, piece by piece, driven by value, driven by the feedback that you get to a point that it becomes a, say, clickable wireframe where you can work out the workflows, get a feeling of how this works. Perhaps also you can win a potential user to click himself, as he will usually find something that does not work out, that feels awkward, that feels maybe a little bit of a shortcut from an implementation point of view. And these things are very important to consider. Still, the ultimate test will be the implemented solution when it reacts to feedback, when it reacts to user actions, to maybe automatized processes who feed in data. This becomes then increasingly complex to cover. And therefore, it's very important to restrict yourself to something very easy, to something simple on first place, to figure out what are the usual mechanics of your target user group, what would they expect, as it's very difficult to educate users on your opinion that the solution as you designed is just better than everything else. This is usually not true, as users will judge on their own whether a interface is handy or not, and you should follow their suggestions, their recommendations.
And I can imagine that being especially difficult for the elderly, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So maybe highlighting a story to this end. So we were very proud once we connected our IT security component, our front end and our back end. And the first thing that we were able to present was a table-like overview of the residents in a station. Yeah. As I mentioned, you have to start little. It was just a few weeks in the project, but we did this on purpose to then get the very critical feedback on this very first draft. Oh, I hope for something different. And this is where actual constructive discussion can emerge if you are open for whatever comes, so that we come to an idea, hey, can we do maybe little cards of our residents instead of a table? So each card representing a resident with all the information that you need, nicely presented in a more natural, in a more modern manner. So this was the next idea. And crafting these ideas in the first moment of skepsis can then turn into something constructive, as people will notice, hey, this guy is listening to my feedback. This is not very often the case, actually. So you can make a difference just in listening to the feedback and turning it to something new, to something, to some new idea, and you can navigate then guided by this feedback to the next iteration, having more trust that the next draw will perhaps be closer to the desires of your users, of your audience.
Sure.
So this is of course a very thin line. So showing something very basic first to then discuss how can we transform this. Critical here to restrict this to the smallest possible item to get this first feedback, as otherwise if we've done this through a whole set of user stories, invested lots of budget in doing a full set, then it would be of course much more effort to refactor all the different pieces to so that they conform closer to the expectations of our users. Therefore, be somewhat brave to just start with something simple, small, to then discuss this thoroughly, and from there on, step by step, move on to the full set of the features that you want to cover. But the very first bits and pieces have a huge leverage on the later stages of your solution, so that it's also here very similar to the patterns on the technical side that you evolve, that you adhere to, is worth investing, even if this means that you're just working for another, say, 2 weeks on this one interface where you know that you have a whole bunch of features still waiting for you to implement. This is hard. This requires courage. But usually you are on a good track in investing at least in some iterations on this one very first interface so that you in confidence move on to other new stories and have a better basis than already with your supporters, stakeholders, and perhaps critiques, as the first barriers are now broken down. As I said, they see that you listen, they see that you respect their advice, their opinion. So this is good ground to then conquer the whole solution.
Sure. Okay. And so once you've refined your idea, taking kind of, as we discussed, the feasibility from maybe an IT security perspective, scalability in terms of whether it's technically or economically possible, usability. And you started mentioning now, obviously, creating a prototype, testing it with users and testing it, gathering feedback, and then adjusting the design as needed. And it's obviously quite a lengthy process of improving the design over and over again, critiquing and improving critique. So what are some other key elements of this prototyping process?
Okay, so sometimes prototyping feels a little bit like a game, right? We can reinvent the world. We can start with something completely new. And sometimes there is, among the technical team, perhaps an atmosphere of playground that is established. Oh, let's try out this. Let's build this into our solution. Maybe this fits again. These ideas are great, but they need orchestration. So already in the prototyping phase, it is important to have a plan, step by step, feature by feature, definition by definition of desired outcome on where to head next. Because otherwise, it will be very difficult to merge all these ideas to get a clear-cut path forward, as still prototyping should have a direction, should come to a point where we can again be brave enough to get into the next round of discussion, critique, and hence it's very important to select wisely the many things that you could in improving for the next iteration. And here, a strong product owner will form his opinion carefully, considering, as I mentioned earlier, the opinions on efforts from the technology side, the feedback that was perceived by the dedicated groups of stakeholders, personas, so to say, to then judge what is the exact piece I want to have in my backpack to show next time. And this idea of, I imagine that I'm in this situation in 2 weeks' time, say, to then gather the next round of feedback is a very good guide in this kind of prioritization process. This might involve trying something out, maybe something smaller, maybe you can mix in idea. This is not forbidden, but it's up on the product owner's discretion to make it an active choice and with a desired outcome, be it to maybe shed a light on what can be ahead, maybe to fulfill a wish of a critical stakeholder to keep him on board. So also these kind of emotional human factors are very important to consider to keep the important people on board that you need for your journey. And this is not only true for then later professional scaled development, but also already for the prototyping phase, where, again, this imagine the situation that you will be in 2 weeks' time in this meeting. What do you want to see? What do you want to say? What do you want to receive as feedback? Should be carefully, strategically, so to say, planned, so as to make most of our time, most of all your supporters' time, as this will be your key for effectiveness.
And you started coming on to being able to effectively communicate right there, to engage the relevant stakeholders so they understand the value of the digital solution you're posing. And I know you spoke briefly earlier in this discussion about clinicians, the most important part of a clinician's role for this whole process, who doesn't have much technical experience, will be communicating and implementing the idea. So maybe you could provide some tips from your personal experience. How is it that you can communicate your idea and the design effectively so people understand its value?
Yeah. So actually, it's just a three-letter word that is very important, but often some forgotten, which is the why. So it's very important to convey your ideas with a description of why you think that this is important, why you think that it gives us an edge on the project, as you might be mistaken. But people can only understand why they should do this if you give them this kind of explanation and invite them to question, perhaps, is this right? Am I on the right track? Is this a valid explanation, a valid reason why we should do this, or is it not? And in the inner circle of your team, fostering an atmosphere where people can then argue on this opinion, to then strengthen this with another argument, perhaps, or turn this down as maybe the explanation is not valid, but just came out of the blue, is a critical step that is oftentimes forgotten. Yeah? So as it requires careful thought on why we should do something, maybe we find an item in our backlog that we find intriguing because it's well understood, because we've discussed this many times. Is this a reason to do this now? Maybe not. Maybe you should cover aspects that are more risky to, especially in the early phases of your project. So to remove as many roadblockers as you can, although this is quite a challenge for motivation, quite a challenge for you to stand up to this. But carefully thinking about the why and then deciding actively, should we do this to just reduce risk in our project, or should just this time only go for something that is well understood, that is very doable, as we need a little bit, we need to calm this whole thing, this whole ship a little bit down. Is our decisions that should come for a reason in the specific situation with the stakeholders at your hand, with a view on the technologist capabilities? So there are many things to consider. What makes an optimal set, an optimal choice of next steps to go? This problem, of course, becomes much more prevalent if things get larger. If you go to a scale setting where you don't have only 2 or 3 developers, but maybe then in the scale up phase, you want to push this forward with 10 or 15, if you're lucky enough to then have the resources, this requires training. This is a hard job, as I experienced myself in a scaled product setting where we automatize quite a bit of some reimbursement processes. So it's a large task, it's a large endeavor, but as a startup founder, you should prepare for this situation if you want to be in charge in this phase still, to be able to then, based on your experience, based on the careful decisions that you've made along the learning phase when it comes to guiding a team in the early stages, to then be able to scale this up to something that can get really big, to orchestrate different functions of your growing business, will be very important, and it's wise to train for the situation early on. Why is the most important thing?
So why?
You should think about the why.
And finally, I wanted to ask, how do you actually take your solution and now make it a reality? Once you've gone through this whole design thinking process, you've got to the end, you've communicated and implemented the idea, how now can you as a founder make it a reality?
Okay, so when you're in a situation that you have your prototype, that you are running, maybe even came to the conclusion, now I've reached the minimal viable product. Yeah, if you have come there quite successfully through the process, I mean, you could carry on. You should seek for the gradient of feedback to a wider circle that you've been. This might be through seminars, through conferences, seeking new opinions, seeking new stakeholders who can have a look into what you've built to assess whether really it's an MVP or whether there is something missing, something your inner circle so far has not thought. To then, as your network, as your reach grows, you consider and perhaps also impress, if you are successful enough, any more stakeholders, you can only profit from this kind of feedback and the connections context that you do. And so user by user, contact by contact, conference by conference, you will then gain the self-confidence in your solution that you need to prevail in a fierce market that is becoming more and more competitive. So staying in the comfort zone is the worst thing you can do. There's so much more you can explore. and then taking the decisions, maybe on a larger scale. Decisions like, is this a module that still fits into our solution, or should we build something new? Is this actually another project? This might be then the decisions that you can, with all the experience that you gained on your start and early scale-up phase, that you now can do in confidence as you understood your problem, as you understood your user base, as you have the supporting network, that you need to refine your ideas to make this, then again, business crucial decisions on where to move next. But as I said, starting something small and then growing with each and every step, doing this in a human-centered, feedback-oriented manner is the best thing that you can do. And if you are then along the way successful enough to hit a user base, to make it a subscription model, to get the revenues, to keep up the pace that you need to make it a business case as well, then you are on the path of success. But there's just no other way to get there other than feedback, criticism, considering all the different voices, and they are getting more and more, as I said, to something that you are yourself confident enough to present in a wide range of your area.
I think what you've just said there is extremely valuable for any startup founder to know. It is going to be a long process, but what you said really stuck with me about never be in your comfort zone. You always need to feel uncomfortable for your solution to grow, and it's one step closer to making it a reality. And I think throughout this episode, you specifically have provided a lot of valuable insights in terms of strategies for healthcare professionals who are looking to identify problems in healthcare and then thus solving with a digital solution, refining their ideas and creating promising products. So where can someone go next? So they've listened to this podcast now. A lot of what you've said has resonated with them, and they're looking to take that next step in starting their own design thinking process for a problem they've identified. Where can they go next?
Yep. So the Bionabu platform, of course, is a good network that you can leverage, finding the experts, the complementary expertise that you need to make this a success. Maybe if you come from a more clinical driven, a more business matter expertise side, to find some technologists, or the other way around might also be that you might have an idea whether something works with something that you've seen from the technology side. Bit more unusual, but this happens. So therefore, this kind of sparking connections on the Bionabu platform, something very valuable. I'm there too, so you can just reach out to me as an expert myself, or if you want to have this in a more structured, interactive manner, you can go to my masterclass, or even series of masterclass that takes this to a much higher level of detail, so that you can have an overarching view on many more strategies to pursue, tools that you can use to your end, and all the discussions along the group joining the masterclass to then get all the pieces that you need to make a successful journey in your development process. So I would like to welcome you to these discussion or my masterclasses. See you there.
Definitely. I think the most daunting step is obviously the first step, and having your masterclass as a guide on how to get started is going to be extremely valuable. I think it's going to be extremely valuable for our listeners, having someone to almost guide them in that initial step, which is the most daunting step, but getting started. Listeners, you can sign up now to Martin's masterclass. I will leave the link in the description of this episode, and honestly, take the first step towards creating a digital solution and can make a meaningful impact on the healthcare system. Any final thoughts, Martin?
I can totally second that. So the pharma and healthcare sector is in need of new ideas, as there are obviously so many things broken and need all our creativity to improve the situation of healthcare professionals, of patients. So I highly appreciate everybody who has the courage to enter this game. It will be hard, but the reward, especially in when it comes to patients' quality of life, is just enormous. So imagine that someone says to you, hey, with this idea, you just saved 25,000 lives. This is something. And this keeps us running each and every day.
Sure. Yeah, I get I guess at the end of the day, that's what everything is about, providing better care for the patients. So it's been honestly great having you on the episode, Martin. Provided extremely valuable insights, and I look forward to staying in contact with you going forward.